This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in for the first time, what I do on this episode is discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Let's jump right into it this week. Let's check out some TV news for this week. Josh Duhamel joins Renee Zellweger in NBC's limited series The Thing About Pam. He's tapped to star opposite Renee Zellweger on NBC's limited series The Thing About Pam. Based on a true crime phenomenon, the real-life stranger-than-fiction story behind the 2011 murder of Betsy Faria that was featured on Dateline NBC. Written by Jessica Barinski, The Thing About Pam is based on the murder of Betsy Faria and resulted in her husband Russ's conviction, though he insisted he didn't kill her. His conviction was later overturned, and this brutal crime set off a chain of events that would expose a diabolical scheme deeply involving Pam herself, played by Zellweger. Duhamel will play Joel Schwartz, the defense attorney for Russ Faria. Some more TV news from this week is some exciting casting news as Fred Armisen and Sam Buscutt board HBO Max's pirate comedy Our Flag Means Death. The series is written by David Jenkins, Dave Halstead, Garrett Bash. It's based loosely on the true adventures of Stede Bonnet, played by Darby, a pampered aristocrat who abandoned his life of privilege to become a pirate. Armisen and Shute join the cast in recurring roles. Their characters haven't been released, though. Exciting to see Fred Armisen back on TV. Some more TV news from this week is Renee Victor and Pepa Sarna joy Gloria Cauldron Kellett's Amazon series. They're set for recurring roles in With Love, Amazon's one-hour romantic comedy series from Gloria Cauldron Kellett in her Glow Nation Studios and Amazon Studios. Siblings are on a mission to find love and purpose. They cross paths with seemingly unrelated residents during some of the most heightened days of the year, the holidays. Victor will play Martin DeLego, grandmother to Lily, Jorge and Sol, and married to Luis. She wants to know everything about everybody in the family, and while she's very accepting, she's uncompromising about church attendance. Something we can all relate to. That's it for TV news. Now let's head on over to some film news. Some exciting film news for this week for DC fans. They're developing a Black Canary movie with Journey Smollett starring in Misha Green writing. Warner Brothers and DC are moving forward with a Black Canary movie at HBO Max with Journey Smollett starring and Lovecraft County creator Misha Green writing. Plot details of this movie are unknown, and the film is a spinoff of Birds of Prey, which featured characters Harley Quinn the Huntress and Cassandra Cain. The news follows the announcement of Batgirl and Blue Beetle gaining momentum, both of which would premiere on HBO Max. Exciting news for DC fans. Some more film news from this week. Remember that bloodbath that was supposed to occur between two major studio animated family films during the first weekend of October? Well, as reported earlier this week, Sony decided to go into talks with Amazon to sell off their Hotel Transylvania 4, and now MGM and United Artists Releasing is taking their sequels, Addams Family 2, and releasing it both on video on demand and in theaters on the same day, October 1st. A calculated move by the studio to maximize profits. Wrapping up the weekend film news from this week is some more great news for movie theaters, psych. As No Time to Die is still set for an October release in the US and UK, but Australia is pushed to November. The movie No Time to Die has been bumped from its September 30th release date in Australia to now November 11th, although it's still set to hit US and UK theaters in October. The film has been sitting on the shelf for over a year, and it's Daniel Craig's fifth and final outing as 007. Let's hope that the film will maintain its release and not have to be pushed back, even in the US and in the UK. That's it for film news for this week. Now let's switch up gears and head on over to some movie trailers for this week. Last week we talked about an upcoming documentary from Netflix called Blood Brothers, Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. This week they released a trailer and wow, is it powerful. I had no idea that they had such a strong and loving bond. This documentary is going to be very powerful and it's extremely timely. Check out the trailer for Blood Brothers, Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. It'll debut on Netflix September 9th. Another cool trailer they released this week is the final trailer for Eternals. I had no idea the vibe of the Avengers was going to be picked up by Eternals, but this is going to be a really cool movie franchise. Check out the trailer for Eternals. It'll come out in theaters November 5th. Rounding out the week in movie trailers, how can we not talk about Burt Reynolds' last performance in a film that's about to be released August 27th, I believe. It's titled Defining Moments. It's a comedy. It just released its trailer. Check out the trailer for Defining Moments. It's really cool to see Burt Reynolds in this capacity. It's about life and death and love and all the good stuff that we're alive for. Check out the trailer for Defining Moments. It's Burt Reynolds' last performance. Now let's head on over to some TV trailers for this week. From HBO Max, starting to stream September 12th, is a series called Scenes from a Marriage, starring Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain. It re-examines the original iconic depiction of love, hatred, desire, monogamy, marriage, and divorce through the lens of a contemporary American couple, played by Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain. The trailer is a very tender and emotional taste of a series that I think will be very good in its exploration of the dynamics of love and what it means to live a life in love. Check out the trailer for Scenes from a Marriage. It'll start streaming September 12th. A trailer that caught my eye is a series that's currently streaming on Apple TV Plus, starring Octavia Spencer, and this season, Kate Hudson. And that's called, the TV series is called Truth Be Told. It's currently on Apple TV Plus. The next new episode is August 27th. Check out the trailer. Cool what they did this season between Octavia's character and Kate Hudson's new character. Really cool what they're doing with a podcast and a murder investigation. Check out the trailer for Truth Be Told, and you can watch it on Apple TV Plus. The last TV trailer we'll check out this week is Volume 4 of Dear White People. It starts streaming September 22nd on Netflix, and it's really cool and funny what they're doing with this season. Check out the trailer for Volume 4 of Dear White People. It'll debut September 22nd on Netflix. That's it for TV trailers. All right, time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we're checking out Reminiscence, starring Hugh Jackman, directed by Lisa Joy. It's written by Lisa Joy. It also stars Rebecca Ferguson. Hugh Jackman plays Nick Bannister, a private investigator of the mind. He navigates the alluring world of the past when his life is changed by a new client, May. A simple case becomes an obsession after she disappears and he fights to learn the truth about her. That's a very generic summary for an extremely heady movie. What a film Reminiscence is. Reminds me a little bit of Tenet, but that's only because of the high cascading cognitive container that this story is told in. It's set in a future, pretty much a dystopian future, where it's honestly a little scary. A lot of this scenery is, I can see this happening, which I don't want to say, but it's scary where this is set. And I like how it opens, you know, that it's us who haunt the past because we find a comfort in memories, right? And Hugh Jackman plays this doctor who has mastered this technology that is able to map your memories and he's able to, with the sound of his voice, bring you through your memories. And through that and his technology, we're able to relive memories. And this time in that the story is set in is such a dystopian type of future that people find a certain comfort in living in the past, which I think is a really relevant question that we should be living with right now in our lives, just with how technology is in cell phones and what we do with our day-to-day social media usage, you know. But in this film, it's very futuristic based in memory, you know, storytelling, in that, you know, we don't have that kind of technology yet, but the questions that they're asking are very relevant for us right now. The where the story is set is, you know, time really isn't a construct anymore because the planet is at such dire straits that it's really a fight for survival at this point. And it's, again, there's aspects of the story that are scary because of how real it is and how real you can see some of this happening. You know, most of the land is covered in water. They take boats. Houses are half covered in water. You know, houses are half submerged in water. You know, people in the top two floors are the only ones that can live in them. You know, this is a scary kind of place for a story to be set in. So the fact that time isn't really a construct anymore, memories are the currency, everything to most of people living within this story, because their today is just too miserable. They would rather look to yesterday. And that's really a question that we should all be thinking about, even in our own lives. I love how they, you know, Nick within the story says that, you know, nothing is more addictive than the past. Some of this story is just surreal. Where it's set is surreal because it feels like you're kind of looking into the future a little bit in a scary way. They say oceans will reclaim all of this one day within the film, which, I mean, we're seeing starting to happen already. Some of these action sequences in this film, the fight sequences, the choreography is amazing. I mean, Hugh Jackman's one of the best going, but it's some of my best parts of the film is just the action fighting sequences. But it really took me a long time to really capture what the hell is going on in this movie, because the structure, the way they tell the story is very heady. You know, it's like Tenet. It's you have to really engage in the story that they're telling, because I really didn't understand until probably an hour in that they're actually using these memories to help tell the story. I didn't really catch on for probably well into halfway through the film. And that's a critique of the way that some of these movies are being made, because Tenet, I felt like, should have been a lot bigger and people should have liked it a lot more. But because it's so heady, it's such a cascadingly high cognitive storytelling container that it just goes over people's heads. You know, people are overwhelmed in their own lives. So to give them, you know, to give them a dose of ADD, or, you know, it's just too much for some people. And that's why Tenet doesn't click on with some people. And that's why I think that even this film took a little bit to really marinate in my head about what the hell is going on here. You know, because it's not an ordinary way of telling a story. Sometimes you're jumping back and going forward and going back, and it's just not linear, and you don't realize how used to linearity our brains are, because we live in this construct of time, you know. But this film really makes you pay attention and ask critical questions of, you know, perception in your reality. But some of the plot points, see, this is where the review is going to go a little south, because some of the plot points are just really bad. You know, they're harsh. It jarred me sometimes. I had to really think about what was going on here, because they didn't really do a good enough job, or as good of a job as they could have, with bringing us in and out of certain what is going on here. I love Watts. Watts is like my favorite character in the film, because she's a real mother. You know, she's a real person. You know, she's a great friend. She's a hero, and she's trying to be as good of a mother as she knows how to be. She has a relation to alcohol that a lot of people can relate to, and it's just a great character all around. Newton does. She's an amazing actor. But this idea of the drylands, right? So if the story is set with mostly water covering everywhere, then you know that the rich are dry and in high places. And that's literally where they are in the story. It's a place called the Drylands. It's elevated. It's above everyone else. And this is where the rich people live. And this family, the Baron family, they say within the film, stay afloat because they drown everyone else. And there's this great saying that the only people that survived the Titanic was the rich and the rats. And this film does a good job showing us why that's true. Some of the camera angles were really bad. Like, I love the fight sequences and some of the cinematography, but then when Jackman would jump from roof to roof, those camera angles were really bad, and it really took away from the storytelling, and they know better than that. They can do better than that. Some of it's just not good or bad decisions that could have been made differently. And because there's no reason why you can't have good aerial shots in this film. The budget's too big. But overall, most of the cinematography is great and the choreography is amazing. But sometimes I found myself less focused on the story and more focused on the way they were telling the story, which I'm not sure is a good thing to say, because I think that that means that some choices were distracting. Or it just could be an unintended consequence of just high-end productions, you know, because Tenet backfired in that way, too. Like, people just didn't get it, you know, and if you make a film that is trying to make such a high-level philosophical point or cognitive, you know, processes, then you have to make sure you land that. And Nolan and Lisa kind of miss somehow. And I'm not sure how yet. I'm going to have to sit with this film for a little bit longer. I just saw it. It just came out in theaters. It's a little too heady, I think. Or maybe the story just needed to be written better. Jackman's good, but he's not great. You know, the story's good, but it's not great. The way they tell a story, now that's amazing. Like, that's groundbreaking. Same thing with Tenet. You know, I've never seen a movie made like this, which is true for Tenet and Reminiscence. The cinematography's awesome. The where the story's set is amazingly scary for its realness. And it's also, because of how real it is, it's surreal. Because it's almost like I'm looking into the future. The thing I'm thinking about the most, having watched this film, is just what the film is talking about. You know, how people would rather live in the past, because engaging in their present is just too miserable. You know, we would rather see the people that we miss, because the past is comfortable. And these things are really good things to think about. Because I feel like as a society, we're dealing with this kind of comfort. Or maybe this battle between comfort and fear, you know. Technology is being mixed in with our desire to want to be comfortable and our fears, our inherent fears in the world. You know, and technology is really being used to exploit all of them. And this film should be better. I'm not sure why it's not better yet. I'm going to have to sit with it for longer and think about it. But go check out Reminiscence. It just came out in theaters. It's also on HBO Max. Like I said before, Jackman is good. He's not great. The synopsis talks about an obsessive man, and I got obsessive a little bit over his obsessiveness, because it's a little too much. It's a little too much, you know, like, at a certain point, you're just like, just stop, dude, you know. So, like, while I like the movie, there was many times where I'm like, just stop, like, really get on with your life, dude. You know, there's no need to be doing all this stuff, you know. So that's really what I'm thinking about how our use of technology is intertwining with our humanity. And this film is a good film and what it makes you think about. And it's fun. And the fighting is good, the choreography is good, cinematography is good. It's visually stunning. The audio is great. I would give it a 6 out of 10. I'd give it a C. It's not that good. But it's not that good, but it's good, if that makes any sense. Go check out Reminiscence. Thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at CBanksy. That's S-E-E, Banksy. And I'm on Instagram, @TheChrisBanks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please consider rating and reviewing this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comments section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, please do. Use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.